Let's talk a little bit about recurrent disease. Can you first kind of outline your clinical approach to these patients?
First of all, surgery is an option if the patient has a long treatment-free interval. And why do I say that? I mean patients that are still chemosensitive. The reason surgery works in ovarian cancer is because this is a chemosensitive disease. And also, if you can resect the tumor, certainly carcinomatosis is not a good opportunity for second surgery. But beyond that, most recurrent ovarian cancer patients are managed with chemotherapy. We've created this paradigm, though, that when the tumor comes back quickly, and we've kind of set a dichotomy here at 6 months, but it's certainly a spectrum, that if the tumor comes back in the first 6 months, we call it chemotherapy-resistant disease, and we retreat that patient with a non-platinum taxane drug, and the FDA has approved liposomal doxorubicin and topotecan in that setting, and we already said that bevacizumab is also active.
Do you know roughly what fraction of patients are platinum sensitive versus platinum resistant?
And it's interesting. So you use the word platinum resistant. I use the word chemo resistant. It's not a subtle difference. So I think that there's no question that patients are platinum resistant, but they're also chemotherapy resistant. And really, that's more relevant in the chemotherapy sensitive cohort, because I think in the chemotherapy sensitive cohort, I don't think you necessarily need to use platinum. So if you call them platinum sensitive, you imply that they need platinum. But the answer to your question is somewhere around 20% relapse within the first 6 months, and they're called chemotherapy, or if you will, platinum-resistant recurrent ovarian cancer.
And can you talk a little bit about how you sort out options and management, you know, sort of sequences for both of those situations?
So that's the point, is that most patients are going to see both liposomal doxorubicin and topotecan, and which drug to use first. And it's really an individual question between the patient and the doctor, and you consider the existing toxicities, the amount of disease, the social situation for the patient, because liposomal doxorubicin is given every 4 weeks, which is obviously more convenient. And so it's a complex issue. I think the take-home message, though, is that the patient should get both drugs. I would hate for them to get 5-FU or vinorelbine or something and not have had those more important active drugs. I also think that we should emphasize that the dose of liposomal doxorubicin probably should be 40 milligrams per square meter every 4 weeks rather than the FDA-approved dose of 50. And the topotecan should either be given at 1.25 milligrams per square meter for 5 days rather than 1.5, which is FDA-approved in relapsed small cell and ovarian cancer, or weekly. Weekly topotecan is emerging as a very tolerable and probably very close to equally efficacious option.
When you sit down with patients who are about to begin either one of those regimens, what do you discuss with them in terms of what to expect in terms of side effects?
Well, the dose-limiting toxicity of topotecan is obviously marrow suppression. However, when given weekly or at a reduced dose of 1.25 for 5 days, it's pretty tolerable without growth factors. So we explain to them the marrow suppression, although it's almost always asymptomatic, and we try to create some optimism. See, patients want to feel good about their cancer. They don't want to go to their doctor and be depressed, and I think that being optimistic is certainly a part of our job of an oncologist. Liposomal doxorubicin, the dose-limiting toxicity at 40, is still skin toxicity. We talk to them about the hand-foot syndrome, the stomatitis, but again, when used appropriately, those toxicities are rare. We try to have some optimism in a situation that, quite honestly, is pretty dismal.